3 weeks ago, I told you about that fire in our neighborhood that burned the apartment building on Heather Street. So 7 people live in the building, and we gathered donations just to help them. Two of the 7 people, Fernanda and Curtis, are part of our parish family. And so as soon as we heard about the fire, there was this email blast that went out to all of the Alpha team. Fernanda's part of the Alpha team. Now, I want to ask you a question. If you got that email blast 3 weeks ago, I want to ask how you would respond. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. So put up your hand if you would respond back and you would express sympathy. Who would express sympathy? Okay, second question. Put up your hand if you would write back and say, I'll pray for you. Hands up. Okay, last question. Put up your hand if you would offer them a place to stay tonight for a week. Oh. Yeah, that's exactly it. So what really struck me is in that email blast, everyone starts writing, I'll pray for you, I'm so sorry to hear this. But one woman, Angie Ng, she said, if they need a place to stay, they can stay at my place. Wow. And that what struck me is because I wouldn't offer them a place to stay. Now, why wouldn't I offer them a place to stay? Well, I never learned we're supposed to do that. My family, when I was growing up, we never really had guests over. So that didn't even occur to me. Okay, so what I'm getting at is whether we would have them stay at our house or not, we all have something to learn. Okay, we're all still learning, and we need to learn from the example of each other. I've preached many times here in my 5 years here about this virtue of hospitality. Now, hospitality is part of being Christian, and subconsciously, it's what our culture is looking for. I'm going to keep on repeating this message, because it's part of being a Christian, and until each one of us really grows to a very high level, and until our whole community as a whole, we start welcoming people the way Christ would welcome. The second reading we just heard, it's about a Christian community that is in division. So what it is, St. Paul's writing to these Romans and the Christians in Rome, and they're divided into 2 groups. The Jewish people became Christian, and then there's the Gentile people who became Christian. They're divided. Why? Because the Jewish people who became Christian, they're still following the Old Testament law about eating food and the liturgical feast days. The Gentile Christians, they're not. They're separated. So St. Paul, he writes them, and this is what he says. He wants unity. May God grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify God. Okay, and now here comes the key teaching. He says, welcome one another therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Now when we hear this, we think right away, how has Christ welcomed me? How has Christ welcomed you? Okay, when I was a stranger in various stages of my life, I was very blessed to have people treat me like Christ. So when I first went to church and I started getting catechism, Sister Mercy was very kind to me. My first confession, Father Doyle, very gentle. When I went to New York, this guy named Chris Montoro, he said, hi, Justin. I didn't even know who he was. That meant a lot to me. And then when I went to Rome, my very first day, I arrive in Rome. I arrive at this big old building called the Academy where I was going to live. I go up to the top floor where we're going to celebrate Mass. There was just 4 of us. And so Monsignor Chica, Father Iago, and Father Giovanni, what struck me is they were so friendly. Monsignor Chica, this is not an exaggeration. If you ever meet him in Rome, he's going to go like this. Don Justin. I remember thinking, whoa, and I said this to my mom. I said, these guys, I think they're really nerdy. Because they were so friendly, I thought, whoa, this is really something. No wonder they're all diplomats. So I learned from that experience, okay, I'm vulnerable as a stranger. That's what I have to do when other people are strangers in my life. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. In 1969, there's this famous British BBC journalist named Malcolm Muggeridge. He goes to India and he interviews Mother Teresa. And one of the questions he asks her is, he says, you've got a lot of children in your care, haven't you? She says, yes. he asks, "Where do they come from?" And she says, "Many of those children are unwanted by their parents. Some we pick up. Some we get from hospitals. Some we bring in from the jail. Some are brought to us by the police. Up to now, we have never refused a child." And Malcolm asks, "Somehow you fit them in, however many may come?" She says, "We always have one more bed for one more child." "So you've never had to turn one down?" She says, "No." Okay, so when you hear that, you at least get a bit inspired. Mother Teresa, she never turned down anyone. She never refused anyone. And I know all of us, we can't do that, but could we aspire to that? Could we at least aim to refuse fewer and fewer people? St. Paul then writes, "For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy." Okay, quick question about this. Who are the circumcised people? Tell me, please. The Jewish people. So the second person of the Trinity, Son of God, Jesus, takes on human flesh. He becomes part of the circumcised people, the Jewish people. Now, why? Because in God's plan, he was going to use the Jewish people as the older brother to win all the nations back. You get that? So all the nations are supposed to be siblings, but they're the younger siblings. So God chose the oldest brother, not because they're better. They're the older brother trying to win all the nations back, the Gentiles. Now, in the same way, Catholics, we're the older brothers, and we're supposed to win back the lost to bring them home. There's a great story I heard about St. Francis de Sales in, let's say, the 1600s. So there was a woman near him, a nun, who was supposed to be really holy. And she was having these visions of God. Wow, so holy. So because the church is skeptical about this, they send St. Francis de Sales to investigate. Is this nun really having visions of God? So he goes to her convent, and it's a rainy, muddy day. And when he arrives at her convent, he walks in, sits down, and he says to this nun who's really holy, supposedly really holy, and he says, "Sister, can you help me take my boots off?" She declines. She says, "No." And he says, "She's a fake." And she walks out. And he walks out. He could tell she's a fake because she wouldn't even help him take off his boots. She's not holy. She's not having visions of God. Because, see, you can tell a real Christian. Yeah, you can tell them by their prayer. Ask a Christian about their prayer. You'll get a sense. They'll start telling you. They'll reveal what's happening there. Look at their words. What kind of words do they do? We can tell a real Christian by their speech, also by their actions, and then in particular by their hospitality and by their service to other people. So we want to be real Christians. We're now in our second week of a new season here. We're spending 7 weeks in a season, what we call Alpha as Culture. So last week, we talked about prayer. And we talked about praying for our loved ones that they can come home, they can encounter Jesus. And it's really beautiful. We use this prayer. If you weren't here last week, we used a prayer called the 1102 prayer. And what you have it in your pews right now. If you could hand those out, those red cards, please, if you already filled it out, don't worry about it. But could you check with your neighbor, please, right now? If they haven't filled it out, please pass it down to them so that they can look at it. Now, what happened is with these red cards, these 1102 prayer cards. We filled them out and we started praying every day at 1102 for the people we love in our lives that are maybe a bit far away from God. We're praying that they would encounter him. We took the left side and we put it underneath the altar. And on the right side, you filled out the same exact names and you took that right side home. Now, I have to tell you, I'm so excited. I've been talking to different people and all of our alarms this week are going off at the same time, 1102 on our phones, and so we're praying together. And I have to tell you, two of the people I'm praying for on my card, beautiful things have happened. I can't go into the details, but God's already opening up doors, so he's going to keep on opening up more doors. Now, if you haven't filled out these cards, please look at them, fill them out, take the left side, put it in the collection basket, take the right home, and pray every day at 11:02 for those people. Okay, this second week, we want to focus on the virtue of hospitality, to love like Jesus, and to welcome the people in our lives the way Jesus would. So Alpha is famous for the hospitality. If you go to an Alpha, it's going to be really clean, really beautiful, very comfortable environment. Okay, we want to do that. And you'll notice they always have great food, because Jesus often ate with people. And so food is a way to make bonds with people, especially people who are skeptical about Christianity. And if you go to Alpha, you're going to find this radical hospitality. They're going to love you like Jesus. They're going to go out of their way to welcome you. Now, that's a beautiful thing, because have you heard the expression? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Okay, so that's what Alpha does. And what we want to do is we want to do that all the time. Not just at Alpha, all the time in our lives. In October, Peter Lee, our director of evangelization, he flew to Halifax. He goes to this church called St. Benedict's. St. Benedict's is the church that coaches us in the Divine Renovation Network. Now, St. Benedict's has been running Alpha for 8 years. And last year alone, they had 1,200 people go through their Alphas. Amazing. Alpha has become such a part of their culture, they live it all the time. You know, not just when they're at church. So Peter goes there, and he comes back and he tells me, man, they're so welcoming. They all knew my name. They really cared about me, and I could feel it. When he comes back here, and then he says to me, well, you know, us, sometimes, as a whole, our masses, when we're here, they seem a bit lifeless, because a lot of us look kind of unhappy when we come to Mass. So what I want to do is I want to give all of you permission to be joyful. You can be actually joyful at Mass. Have you heard the expression, there's a funny phrase that says, if you're so happy, tell your face. Because your face is not showing that you're joyful. So we all have things to be thankful for, right? Yeah, like think about this. As Christian, as Catholics, Jesus loves us. He's in control of our lives. He's taking care of us right now. And when our mind goes to that, there should be a natural expression of joy. A lot of us don't realize we look unhappy. And I used to be the same. People would tell me, why do you look so serious? I said, well, there are two things I learned about that, because I looked really severe. Two things I learned. One, it's a virtue to be cheerful for other people. It's actually good to bring them up if we're cheerful. And the second thing is, I used to tell people when they'd say, why do you look so serious? I'd say, that's just my face. And then I realized it's not just my face. If I'm really honest, it's I'm grumpy. And so that might apply to a lot of us too. We're getting ready for Christmas, the celebration of Jesus coming as man. He has welcomed us home. We want to do the same for others. So I want to give you, we want to aspire to love like Jesus all the time. So I'm going to give you a few tips to love like Jesus, very concrete ways. First, if you're joyful about anything in life, please let it show. Before Mass, you can do it even during Mass, or after Mass. Now, sometimes we're having a bad day, and we have a legitimate reason we're not doing that well. That's okay. Don't force it. Don't fake it. Just do your best. And I want to be clear about something. You know, when we're in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament in the tabernacle, we've all learned that reverence, to be quiet, to show that respect for Jesus. Now, here's the thing. A lot of us being taught in Catholic culture that when you go into a church, to be reverent means to be stern. That's wrong. See, when we're in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, it sometimes leads to that contrition, that repentance. It also leads to a solemnity, a solemnness. It's true, but it also can lead to great joy. So it is possible to be in church, to be quiet, and be full of joy at the same time. Next, every single Sunday is someone's first Sunday here. This is the first time for some of you here. And so we want to love. For those of us who live here, we need to be more outgoing. We need to be more friendly. And we have to learn each other's names. Another one. Our office and our school and any of our staff here are held to a higher standard. If any of us don't welcome you like Christ, please tell us so that we can grow. On Christmas, specifically for Christmas, could we park away from the church like we did last year? I had to move my car so that we can leave the best parking spaces for our guests. Also, in general, at every Mass, is it possible, especially here at the 10 a.m. Mass, when you sit down at the beginning, could you move to the center? Or maybe could you move to the center so that people don't have to jump over you? And you know how a lot of people are when someone jumps over them? You know those grouchy looks? Can we stop that, please? Because when someone sits down next to us, this is a brother or a sister who's sitting down next to us. And a beautiful thing we can do is we can smile at them. We're so happy, right? That they're sitting next to us, right? Okay. And could we, during the sign of peace, shake hands? Because in our culture, it's a virtue. Unless you're sick, so don't spread the germs. But in our culture, it's a virtue to shake hands. If ever you meet someone new, love them. And during Christmas Mass, especially, if you have the opportunity, can you invite them to Alpha on January 9th? That might be the greatest Christmas gift we can give. Our Nametag Sunday team is looking for more volunteers because we're going to buy 6 outdoor patio heaters, the tall ones. We're going to put them outside in the cold months because we don't have a lot of space here to gather outside. We have such a small foyer, such a small outside. We're going to put them outside so that we don't freeze to death. And that's going to, we're going to buy these as a commitment, as a sign. We want to get to know people before and after Mass. So we need more people who can help us set these things up and then take them down. Our hospitality team is looking for people with the gift of hospitality because we're going to start, we've bought 10 umbrellas. We're going to accompany people on a rainy day from the church entrance to their car in front of the church so that no one gets wet. And we need more people to do this. We're also going to replace the awning. You know the cover in front of the church? It's leaking. It's also too small. We're going to replace it in a few months. So Anthony Lowe, who's our project manager, he's asking any of you, do you know any referrals? Do you know anyone who does awnings? He's just looking for referrals. So if you do, please contact him at the parish office. In 2 weeks, we're going to talk about how do we invite people to Alpha on January 9th. Today we focused on hospitality. In 2 weeks, we're going to talk about how to invite. Every little bit makes a difference. I'm asking you, please do your part, because if only 100 of us does it, it's not going to be as impactful. If all of us do it in this church, all 1,000 people will have the most welcoming church. In October, a woman came and told me a story. She said one rainy Sunday, she was getting her 2 young children ready to come to Mass and it was really frustrating. Had to get all their rain gear, had to get the stuff ready that would keep them quiet at Mass. And so when they pulled up in front of our church, her husband pulls up, she runs out, runs around the car, and opens up the back door to get out her 2 young kids. And she said her thoughts were how late they were, how wet they're going to be, and how are they going to find a seat in a packed church at the 10 a.m. Mass. Now, right then, when she was starting to get hit by the rain, one of our hospitality members comes up and it covers her with an umbrella to keep her dry. And she told me this, and she said, well, I don't even know who he was. I want to find out who it was. So I said, is it that guy on our team who's not that good looking? She said, yeah. She said, he's not at all good looking. And I said, okay, that's George Mundo. So George covered her, and then another woman on our hospitality team came out with an umbrella and walked her and her 2 children into the church and helped them find a seat. And she said that made such a difference to her that she felt like crying. because she was so overwhelmed, such a bad morning. And you know how that's like, right? A lot of us, we all know how that's like. We come to Mass with a heavy heart. Something's bothering us. We're already irritated, and it's just already a bad experience. But George, because of his close union with Jesus, he loved this woman like Christ, and that made all the difference. And so we can learn from George. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed us.